In Every Version But One, There's You and I, by Percy Jackson Fan 3. Read by X-Man Hater. Summary: Eddie Munson dies. Chrissy Cunningham lives. Or maybe it's the opposite, or neither. It all depends on what universe you choose. There are a few ways this could go. He could die. That seems pretty likely at the moment, if the pain shooting through his sides and face and entire body is any indication. Yeah, there's probably a pretty good chance he could die and go out in the blaze of glory he's half dreamt of and half despised. Or maybe someone could pull some kind of Deus Ex Machina and Hail Mary him out of this situation. That sounds pretty nice right about now, too, though sadly he doesn't know anyone with that kind of pull. And even if he did, he doubts he'd be the prime candidate for a once-in-a-lifetime miracle like that. Finally, and he likes this option the best, despite it being the one with the lowest chances of happening, hey, he'd listen to the others talk about their friend Eleven, okay? Girls with superpowers greatly increase the chances of last-minute saving graces. The third option is that he could live. No magic, no government suit cover-ups and interventions. Just pure good old dumb luck saving his ass. Yeah, he resists the urge to scoff at his own futile hopes, too. But can you really blame him? He's bleeding out here, the sound of a loved one's screams ringing above him as his eyes slowly lose focus and his breathing slows. Then it all goes black. There are so many versions of this story. 2. When he comes to, he finds himself mid-step while walking into the clearing in the woods behind the grassy field of Hawkins High. That familiar old picnic table sits there, abandoned and alone amidst the colors of spring in the trees, and Eddie feels his heart lurch to his throat at the sight. He's done tons of drug deals here over the years, but the memory of one in particular is impossible to push aside at this moment. He takes a deep breath, hands clenching into fists, and tries to make sure the cadence of Chrissy's voice in his memory is perfect. "Hey, you." Eddie freezes, eyes flying open, and the quiet crunch of leaves and twigs underneath the small sneaker reaches his ears. Then she's there, stepping around from behind him, and he twists his neck so quickly to look that it jolts slightly. But he barely notices as he stares wide-eyed at Chrissy Cunningham moving to stand in front of him. It feels like all the breath has been punched from him. That's how sharp the sudden pain in his chest, lungs, stomach, heart is. She looks exactly the same. Chrissy Cunningham, the queen of Hawkins High, still wearing her cheer uniform with her hair up and that bright blue eyeshadow Eddie's eyes had latched onto with a fierce flicker of interest, unable to help but notice how it had brought out the color of her eyes. Still does. "What?" she asks him good-humoredly, teasing, making those same eyes sparkle. And his chest is really starting to pang now from the way he hasn't taken a breath since first hearing her voice. A voice he's pretty sure he's not just imagining anymore. His memory never did her justice anyway.
"A few days and you're already scared of me again?"
That makes his chest rise and fall with a sudden and sharp inhalation, bringing immediate relief even as he unsticks his tongue from the suddenly dry roof of his mouth. "Is this a dream?" he asks her, still unable to believe his own eyes, his own senses, and he resists the urge to squeeze his eyelids closed and rub them, if only from the fear that doing so really will make her disappear. Her expression softens in understanding.
"No."
"Then what?" he swallows, voice thick. "What is this? Because you're...
dead?"
she finishes easily, smiling and backing up to lean against the top of the picnic table. He can only continue to stare, eyes hungry on her.
"It's okay, I know."
Now she bites her lip, cocking her head slightly to scrutinize him as she leans back on her hands, a faint hint of worry on her face that is quickly drowned by sympathy.
"You are, too."
"Me?" he shakes his head on instinct. "No, I was just..." But then he remembers. Homemade shields with spikes. Spears almost as tall as him, a repeat journey into the upside down and demo bats swarming him as he stood to fend them off, keeping them away from the others. And Dustin. Away from Dustin, a boy that Eddie can't think of without something warm filling him. Until he remembers Dustin screaming and crying and holding him as everything slowly dulled away. Until he woke up here. She nods at the play of realizations across his face.
It's weird, I know. But hey, at least you're not bleeding out on gravel anymore.
Her words make him look down, hands flying up to his own body, feeling his leather jacket and vest, whole and without rips from monster claws. Interesting. His hellfire shirt and ripped jeans. The things he'd worn during his first meeting with Chrissy in the woods.
How? This is one of your last happy memories,
Chrissy declares, obviously anticipating the question.
An actual happy memory, with no worries or threats hanging over you to mar it.
She grants him a soft smile.
So, to begin with, yes, you wake up here.
With you.
He double-checks, slightly skeptical, and her grin widens even as she ducks her head.
Yeah, with me.
She shifts slightly, eyes nervous when they glance up at him through her lashes to admit,
it's my last happy memory, too.
Maybe that shouldn't surprise him, but it does, the sentiment landing hard, and he has to swallow again to resist the urge to fall to his knees and beg for answers and contact and comfort like he was a little kid.
Oh, he says finally. Okay, sure, I can get behind that.
She smiles again and shrugs.
I'm not really sure how it all works either, to be honest. I'm just glad you're here, even if I'm sorry you're here, too.
Because him being here means he's dead.
Right.
The others, he cries out as the full implications of this hit him, taking several steps forward as if increased proximity will make Chrissy answer him faster. Wheeler, Robin, Steve, Dustin, did they all...
They're okay, Chrissy answers quickly. You bought them enough time, and there were some other people.
She trails off, mouth working, eyeing him as if she's unsure how much to say, maybe wondering how much she can say. But then she shrugs, as if coming to the same deduction as him. What does it matter if he knows everything now? He's dead. There's not much he can do about any of it.
Dustin's friend Eleven helped. She stopped Vecna up here. Chrissy taps her temple. Well, Steve, Nancy, and Robin stopped him in the Upside Down.
Eddie swallows, relief rushing through him.
So he's gone.
Chrissy nods.
For now.
Her face darkens.
Finally.
That makes a wave of guilt crash over him, and he takes another step, leaving only a few feet between them now.
God, Chrissy.
His voice is choked and his eyes are suddenly burning. He's been dreaming of a way to be able to see her again, to apologize and ask for her forgiveness for leaving her there in his trailer all those days ago. She had trusted him. She had come to him for help, sought him out instead of anybody else, and he had failed her.
He'd left her.
The knowledge has been a dagger stabbed in his side ever since. What if, he's been wondering, always too scared to follow his questions through to their answer. What if he had stayed? What if he had figured out the music thing and been able to save her? What if she had lived? This girl who he hasn't been able to stop thinking about for years now, what if he could have saved her and the two of them could have... He doesn't even know. Worked together? Become friends? It's all dreams. All stupid, unrealistic fantasies. But their lives had crossed again that day, that night in his trailer. And he hasn't been able to push away the feeling that if he'd just stayed with her, not gone to find the ketamine in his bedroom, one simple choice and it all might have been different, then maybe... Maybe the two of them wouldn't be standing back here in these woods right now in what he can only presume is some unexpected part of his afterlife. Or maybe he would still be here, but at least she might not be. He swallows thickly, blinking fast.
Chrissy, I'm so sorry.
Hey.
She pushes away from the table immediately, coming to stand right in front of him, eyes wide, face earnest, and without a trace of anger to be found. Christ, he can't stop staring at her.
There's nothing you could have done, she says meaningfully, fiercely. Nothing more than you already did. You were wonderful, Eddie. I mean it.
I ran away.
What choice did you have?
She asks.
I understand, okay? Promise. There is no part of me that is angry with you about what happened.
There's only one person to blame, and that's Vecna.
Again, her eyes turn flinty, but that quickly recedes.
You're the person who made me laugh on my last day on Earth. You cheered me up, made me feel normal again, at least for a little while. Eddie, if anything, I'm grateful for what you did do.
Don't. He shakes his head immediately. Don't say that. I let you down.
Never, she vows. In fact, you might be the one person...
She bites her lip, shaking her head, looking off to the side. There's no wind here, Eddie realizes then. No sounds except for the two of them. It's all deadly quiet, making her words land with more force than they might usually.
I've been watching everything, you know, seeing how things played out.
An unhappy expression makes her bite her lower lip.
You could have forgotten about me as soon as the others told you what was really going on, but you didn't.
That's not true, he says after a moment of total disbelief. There's no way I could ever forget about you. You... Eddie shrugs helplessly. I just couldn't.
She nods a bit, something warm in her eyes. Others might have. I mean, with Fred.
Eddie winces. He hadn't known Fred Benson, only passed him in the hall sometimes, never really spoken to him. And it's true that Eddie had carried around Chrissy's memory without doing the same for the others who had died.
You didn't let me down,
she says finally with complete sincerity.
Not once. My family left town, eager to leave it all behind as soon as possible to try and forget. And Jason.
Chrissy's eyes go far away.
Jason did what he always does and made it about himself. But you, Eddie.
She blinks and he sees a slight sheen when she does.
You remembered me. Like I mattered. Like even though we'd only really started to talk again that same day, you actually cared.
I did. Do. He clears his throat. I mean...
I know.
She says it softly, making him look back up to meet her gaze. There's no trace of agony there now, just that warm compassion that he's never really seen in anybody except her. When they'd left their first meeting in this place, he remembers walking away wondering how he'd never noticed how exceptionally kind Chrissy Cunningham is. It's her who looks away first, breaking the bit of tension that's risen.
I saw your show.
What? He frowns. Oh. His final performance. Master of Puppets blasting on the roof of his trailer in the Upside Down. Just some speakers, him, his guitar, and Dustin watching from the side. The one he'd dedicated to her.
Yeah.
Her head tilts and there's a playful quirk to her lips that Eddie wants to bottle up because of the way it makes him feel.
Way better than the middle school talent show.
He laughs, the sound bursting out of him in surprise, and she does too, her giggles complimenting his own. I've had some practice since then.
Clearly.
Her eyes glint, and he suddenly feels himself calming, something in him settling, despite the fact that he's dead now with no idea of what that means. She waits for him to ask. What happens now? She hums thoughtfully, looking up at the sky. He does too, looking through the skinny branches of the trees to the blue above.
I'm not sure, is her eventual response. But I'd like to figure it out together.
He looks back down to find her eyes on him, hopeful and happy.
If you're okay with that?
In response, he holds out a hand, letting it hover between them. And feeling all the while like it's one of the bravest things he's ever done, including holding off a swarm of demo bats. She doesn't hesitate to take it, and his calloused hand swallows hers until their fingers clasp. After you, my lady. He bows his head and she giggles again, shooting him a bright look before she squeezes his hand and begins to lead the way back to the school in the town beyond. Things don't seem so bad, Eddie thinks, as he takes a step too, happy to follow her wherever she leads them. 3. 1 minute Eddie is dying, and the next he's sitting in the waiting room of what looks like a doctor's office. He's in one of those hard metal chairs with padded back and seat rests. They're a sickly shade of green.
Eddie Munson? A voice calls, and he looks over, realizing suddenly that he's the only one in the waiting room, to see a little girl standing in the doorway of what must be the doctor's office.
Here.
He clears his throat and pushes himself up, taking in the girl with interest. She's holding a clipboard.
Aren't you a little young to be working in a place like this?
Aren't you a little young to be dead?
She fires back, making him reel.
What?
Welcome to the afterlife, Mr. Munson.
She cuts him off with an unfazed smile.
Would you like heaven or hell?
4. This time it feels more like a blink. One second he's lying on the cold ground, so cold that it seeps through his clothing to his back, in the upside down, Dustin begging him to keep his eyes open, shaking him in a way Eddie's pretty sure he shouldn't be doing to a dying man. And the next, he's somewhere else. It's completely dark here. Absolutely no light or sound. There's only black, like he's standing in a pitch-dark room. Until it's like a sudden stage light switches on. And then, lying there in front of him in this dark place, is Dustin holding Eddie's own body. Pale, battered, bleeding, and, he's pretty sure, dying. Begging him not to close his eyes. To just hang on, because soon Steve will come and they'll get him to a hospital. And standing beside Dustin in Eddie's limp form is Chrissy. She looks different than the last time he'd seen her. Wearing a white sundress edged in black, hair completely down, she stares down at Eddie and Dustin with tears in her eyes.
Chrissy?
He breathes, and she freezes before slowly turning to look back at him.
Eddie?
She says in disbelief, eyes wide as she looks from him standing there to that other version of him lying on the black ground. Actually, now that Eddie looks, he sees the ground has a thin layer of water on it, and it glints occasionally around them.
Holy shit, Chrissy, I can't believe it!
He walks towards her, hand stretching out to touch without him even realizing it. But just as his fingers come to brush her shoulder, she looks up at him in panic.
No, Eddie, this isn't right!
He stills, hand falling.
What do you mean?
You shouldn't be here.
Her eyes are darting around.
He didn't kill you. You shouldn't be here. You're there.
She points down to where Dustin holds him, his chest barely rising and falling with breath. Eddie follows her finger.
Why can't Dustin hear us?
Because we're not really here. It's some kind of hive mind thing.
She shakes her head.
I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't understand it either.
But
Vecna killed me, Chrissy confirms. But while he did, I think a piece of me, he took a part of me, and it's trapped now, here, in his mind. I can feel him.
She shudders and then meets his eyes again.
But you shouldn't be here, Eddie.
His eyes drift down again, and his heart aches to see Dustin like this.
I think I'm dying.
You are.
She looks too, frowning.
But it's not right.
He laughs.
I can't really help it.
No,
she agrees a beat late, considering him standing there, and then the body at their feet.
But maybe I can.
What?
Come here.
She grabs his hand, sending a jolt through him, and he only has a moment to wonder at the softness of her skin, before she's pulling him to kneel down at his own head, with her on the opposite side to Dustin.
Keep your hands there.
She positions him so that he's holding the sides of his own face. Dustin continues to cry right beside them, seemingly entirely unaware of them both. Eddie wonders if this is some crazed, half-delirious hallucination that he's come up with to soothe him while he dies. Well, apart from Chrissy being here, it's not very comforting at all. Chrissy takes a deep breath and then places her own hands on him, the other him, the dying one, positioning herself as if she's about to do CPR, with both hands pressing down on his chest, right where his heart is.
Chrissy, what?
I won't let you die, Eddie.
Her voice is fierce and determined, and her eyes flick up to meet his questioning gaze for a moment before she looks back down.
You deserve to live.
I let you die,
he says, the memory making him feel like he's been doused with ice water.
I just ran.
No, you didn't,
she says.
You carried me with you in a way nobody else has. In a way I've felt this entire time.
She takes a deep breath.
And right now, right here, you didn't run. You stood and fought. For the others. For Dustin.
For you, he says. Her eyes dart up again, and their gazes hold, heavy and understanding, even as both of their hearts beat loudly in their ears.
For me,
she agrees quietly, expression pained and longing and wistful in a way that makes him open his mouth, ready to say something, anything that will take the look away. Chrissy looks down at her hands before he can, however, breaking the contact and refocusing on their current plight.
Let me fight for you too,
she whispers, and then closes her eyes and pushes. He feels it immediately, and though his hands don't leave the sides of his own head, he does gasp as a strange bloom of warmth spreads through his chest. Chrissy, what?
I'm in Vecna's mind,
Chrissy says quietly, still concentrating, frowning slightly as her chest begins to heave.
And I can take his power.
Holy shit, Eddie breathes as the implications of that hit him.
Your heart will beat,
she commands forcefully, eyes still closed, and he feels his heart give a lurch in obedience.
You will live. They will get you out of here and you will live.
Steve appears then, moving through Chrissy as if she's nothing but a ghost, some kind of specter, to skid to a kneel at the passed out Eddie's side, hands hovering in panic. Dustin? Dustin! Shit, man, what the hell happened? Nancy and Robin show up too, appearing feet away and stumbling to horrified halts at the sight of Dustin, Steve, and Eddie there.
No,
Robin breathes, and Eddie swallows, taking them all in.
He fought the demo bats,
Dustin chokes out, still crying.
Steve, he held them off.
Okay, it's gonna be all right, man. Hey, Dustin, listen to me.
Steve's voice sharpens and Dustin looks across Eddie's body to meet his eyes. The real, or is he a ghost? Eddie isn't sure. Eddie is still kneeling to the side and watching it all happen, while Chrissy continues to breathe heavily.
We need to get him out of here. Take him to a hospital,
Dustin says, and Steve nods.
We will, okay? We will. Robin, Nance, he calls,
and both girls snap out of their shock to hurry forward.
Help us, okay? We need to be careful.
And Eddie feels it, the pain that shoots through every single nerve in his body when they all work together to lift him. Chrissy gets up swiftly, eyes opening to move aside. But she keeps her hand on his chest every second, pumping his heart, making the blood flow.
Hold on to yourself,
she breathes, and he does, scrambling to grab one of his own hands, making sure he always maintains some form of skin-on-skin contact.
What's happening?
I can keep your heart beating until they get you to a hospital, she says. Or at least I think so.
You think so?
She turns terrified eyes to him.
I don't know if I can leave the upside down.
He stumbles, but still doesn't let go of his own hand. The pain is numbed a bit now, and it's easier to ignore.
But you mean I'll leave you here?
She gives him a heartbreaking smile.
You were always going to leave me here, Eddie.
No, I won't.
He angles his head to hold her gaze.
Not again, Chrissy, I swear.
Don't, she says. Please don't. I don't want you to.
Her eyes fall to his real body, and he can see the way blood is gushing from his wounds.
I want you to live, Eddie.
They've made it to his trailer now and are heading into his living room. To the exact place where she died days ago, and he sees the way it makes her bulk, feels his own heart lurch at the sight.
I can stay.
You can't.
She jerks her chin up, brooking no argument.
You're meant to live, Eddie. I died here, and I wish I hadn't, but that's done. But they'll need you for what comes next.
Comes next? He cries in anguish. No, Chrissy, I can't do this anymore.
You're braver than you think.
Her face softens as the others begin getting ready to hoist his body up through the gate.
You're a hero, Eddie. Don't forget it.
He shakes his head.
You are to me,
she tells him, eyes looking through the gate to the world beyond. You have to go with them.
I won't.
Yes, you will. I can keep your heart going, but it needs to be you that goes back. Without you, your body is just a shell. Empty.
She gives him a soft smile.
And that would be a real shame for the world to lose you.
Chrissy.
Dustin and the others need you, she says finally.
Steve and Nancy have already gone through the gate, and they've tied sheets around Eddie's body to pull him up after them as gently as possible.
Go.
What happens to you?
He croaks, and it's only then that he realizes he's crying.
I'll be here.
She's tearing up too, and it makes his throat thick.
Who knows? Maybe I can help somehow. Later, when you all need it.
He stares, letting go of his hand to trail his fingers down his leg as his body goes through the gate.
I don't want to leave you.
She's let go of him now, but he knows that she's still doing her thing, because his heart is still pounding like it had when she'd been touching him. Her eyes widen and her lips part at his words, and in a blink, a look of determination is on her face. Chrissy steps towards him, reaches up with both hands to grab his cheeks, and pulls him down into a fierce and earth-shattering kiss.
Go be a hero, Eddie Munson,
she breathes against his mouth, voice thick with farewell. And then she's pushing again, only this time she's pushing him, the awake version of him, and he's somehow climbing up after his own body and the others.
Chrissy,
he calls, looking back through the gate once he's through, only to see her standing there, staring after them all with a sad smile on her face.
Chrissy, no, no, please, come with us.
She waves, tears shining in her eyes, and then the others are hurrying with his body out of the trailer. And he's helpless to do anything but hold on tightly and allow himself to be dragged after them as they head for a hospital. The doctors rush him in, taking him to emergency, and Eddie continues to cling to himself, tears streaming down his cheeks while they ready him for shock panels while patching up his wounds. As soon as the currents of electricity go through his body, everything goes black. And then, once he's back in his real body, his eyes flutter open. 8. In another life, he goes to that same dark place and sees a younger girl with a buzz cut and white pants.
Hey!
He calls, and she turns to take him in shrewdly, assessing. He holds his hands up non-threateningly.
Hey, little girl, do you know where we are?
She cocks her head.
Who are you?
Her words are slightly clipped, awkward almost, like she's not used to using them, and Eddie takes her in again with a hint of confusion.
My name's Eddie. He says, hoping to hell that he's right and this 14-year-old isn't going to use that information against him or anything. What's yours?
Her eyes widen slightly in surprise, changing her whole demeanor. Suddenly, she's far less chilling, and that threatening prickle that had appeared without him realizing disappears entirely.
You're Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie Munson.
She says his name like it's a strange and unfamiliar thing, though she obviously knows it. He stops walking toward her, wondering if maybe being afraid is the best option.
How do you...
You run Hellfire,
she says, and he blinks, caught off guard.
Mike's club.
It's my club, I'll have you know, and how...
But he stops, the truth striking him at the same time as she smiles again.
You're 11.
He says, and she nods.
The girl with superpowers.
Her expression dims slightly, but she still nods again.
You know me?
I've heard some things.
He appraises her. She doesn't look supernatural, not like those bats in Max's descriptions of Vecna.
Some pretty badass things.
That makes her lips twitch.
I am glad.
So, mutual recognition aside, there's still a whole pile of questions on his mind. He doesn't see any point in wasting time before asking them.
Do you know what this place is?
She nods.
But you should not be here.
That makes him frown. Oh.
She waits.
Any idea on how to get me out of here then?
He looks around at all the nothing and shivers.
Because I don't really love it myself, to be honest.
Hmm. She looks down at her own hands and then him, moving forward. I just did something for my friend Max. Eddie opens his mouth, about to ask, what about Max? But she keeps talking before he can. Maybe I can do it for you, too.
Do what? He starts, but then she's reaching out and touching him, and before he knows it, he feels like a horse has just kicked him in the chest.
Then everything is darkness. 10. There's one where he sees his mom. She's standing there, looking the exact same way she had before she died when he was just a boy. And her arms are held out, and her face is beaming as if she's been waiting for this moment, and missing him and all of the seconds it's taken to get here. Eddie can't help the choked noise he makes that was supposed to be her name, and then he's stepping forward into her embrace, only for his knees to give out until he's kneeling in front of her instead, arms wrapped around her waist and face pressed into her stomach as he sobs like a little kid.
My boy, my darling boy, you've been so brave, she murmurs into his hair,
hunched over to hug him and stroking his head comfortingly like she had when he was younger, and he clings tighter. That's a good one. 15. In one universe, he becomes a ghost and is forced to stand off to the side and watch as Dustin Henderson comforts his grieving uncle. And even though Eddie is shouting and yelling as loudly as he can, he's helpless, because neither of them are able to hear him until, in the end, he simply falls down to cry beside them. 20. Once he wakes up to find himself sitting in a lawn chair beside Max Mayfield, the two of them on her trailer's lawn.
What is this? He asks her. She frowns in consideration. I don't know. She replies, but I don't think I'm staying for long.
1. And then there's this. A world in which Chrissy Cunningham wasn't the first to be cursed by Vecna, and so she didn't die in Eddie Munson's trailer that Friday night. In this universe, there is a, mostly, happy ending that goes something along these lines. Eddie Munson is bleeding out on the gravel of a road in the upside-down trailer park. At his side is Chrissy Cunningham, dressed for war, face dirty and blood splattered, and her yelling his name amidst.
Eddie! Eddie! Oh, Christ!
Dustin, go and get Steve and the others,
Chrissy orders, never looking away from Eddie's face as she holds him tightly, fingers clinging as if they'll help him hold on to life.
It's not the worst idea. If anybody could, it would be her.
He distantly hears Dustin peel away to head for the Creel house, grabbing the forgotten bike, and then it's just Eddie and Chrissy. His voice is choked when he speaks. He tries not to think about what causes it.
Don't know if I'll make it out of this one, Cunningham.
Don't say that,
Chrissy says, but her voice isn't strong and determined now. It's shaky.
Please don't say that. You'll be fine.
He smiles, and it makes his entire body burn with pain. She's shrugging off her sweater to tie around him, patching him up as best she can. And it's Chrissy, so she actually does a pretty decent job. But it doesn't stop how heavy his head is getting, or the way it's becoming impossible to keep his eyes open.
You'll be okay, right?
He asks quietly, making her rambling cut off suddenly.
I need to know you'll be okay.
She sniffs.
Make sure I am yourself.
He gives her the best look he can muster, losing energy fast.
Chrissy, please.
Her lips are wobbling.
No, we're a team, remember? You and me. It's been us since the beginning, back in your trailer when you saw me have that vision.
Part of Eddie is glad that he can't see his own face right now. That's how soft and sappy he knows it probably is.
Cunningham.
She squeezes her eyes shut, stilling for only a moment, and taking a deep and shaky breath to recollect herself before returning to her work of finding makeshift bandages for his wounds.
The only way I'm fine is if you make it out of here with me, she says eventually. I don't want anything else.
Yeah, he accepts it finally, knowing it's the best he'll get. She'll be fine. She's Chrissy Cunningham, and there are hordes of people who will jump at the chance to be there for her, even if she doesn't seem to realize it. Even if she seems to think he's the only one.
Yeah, that was my plan too, Sunshine, but I guess we're not that lucky.
His lips wobble.
No diploma for me this year.
Stop! Don't say that!
She snaps and then looks up, scanning for sight of anyone else appearing. But the Creel house is quite a distance from his house, and Eddie knows by the time they arrive it'll be too late. They're alone, just him and a distraught but still beautiful cheerleader who he's been half in love with since 8th grade.
Take care of Dustin and the others for me, would you?
He asks finally. It's the last thing he needs to say.
And tell Uncle Wayne. Tell him.
There's too much, Eddie realizes suddenly. His gratitude for Wayne taking him in after his dad went to jail for good, for giving him a roof over his head and food in his stomach, for encouraging him in his music and never getting upset when the report card came home showing those failing grades again. He suddenly wants to see his uncle again more than he wants anything.
You'll do it yourself.
Chrissy, please.
She stills again at his pleading, seeming to understand that this time he needs to hear her say it, needs to know.
Okay, she whispers. I promise. You know I will. But Eddie, please.
She trails off, hunching over him, until her chest is against his, her bloody hands coming up to hold the sides of his head as she presses their foreheads together. She's so beautiful, he thinks, eyes fluttering to take her in again. Always so beautiful, no matter what.
Don't leave me,
she begs.
Please don't leave me.
You know, I've loved you since 8th grade, he confesses quietly, half out of his mind already.
And he has just enough of a state of mind to hear her agonized noise before his eyes slip shut for good. 1. Continued. There's a beeping in his ears. It's loud and high-pitched and annoying as hell, and Eddie cracks one eye open, only to immediately shut it again at how bright everything is. He sniffs experimentally and wrinkles his nose.
Hospital. Ugh, he hates hospitals. Well, thank God for small miracles you're awake, a voice says at his side,
and Eddie cracks his eyes open again and turns his head, only to see Steve Harrington, of all people, sitting at his hospital bedside. He opens his mouth only to groan, a flash of pain going through him at the small movement. When he peeks again, he sees Steve leaning forward in concern, all signs of teasing gone.
Hey, man, take it slow, okay? You got pretty beat up there.
Eddie takes a couple of slow and careful breaths.
No shit, Harrington,
he says, eventually, surprised at the croak of his own voice. Steve snorts and moves, reaching to get a cup from beside the bed.
What was it you said to me? Pretty metal?
He shakes his head slightly before reaching toward Eddie.
Here.
Eddie drinks slowly, feeling like an invalid the entire time, especially with the way Steve has to readjust his pillows to prop his head up first so the liquid doesn't run all down his chin.
Thanks. He rasps, finally, watching as Steve replaces the cup. No problem.
Eddie glances around, only to freeze at the sight of a familiar strawberry blonde sitting in another chair on the other side of his bed, hunched over with her head on the mattress beside their clasped hands. He can't help it when his fingers twitch, suddenly feeling the warmth of Chrissy's slack grip, and her fingers twitch back ever so slightly, despite the fact that she's obviously asleep.
Oh yeah, Steve says, following his gaze. You had her really freaked out, man. She hasn't left your side this entire time. The rest of us have been taking shifts. Your uncle's getting some coffee downstairs.
Eddie can't find the words he wants.
Is she okay? Sure, as much as any of us. Better off than you. Like I said, scared out of her mind over you, though.
His grip on her hand tightens instinctively, and he breathes out.
Oh.
Steve's snort of amusement makes him drag his gaze away from Chrissy, eyebrows furrowed in silent question.
You two are such liars, Steve says in explanation. If any of us didn't buy your bullshit before about being just friends, then rest assured none of us do now.
Eddie flushes despite the blood loss and squirms a bit.
We're not. Tell that to her.
Steve jerks his head Chrissy's way, making Eddie look back to see her shifting, eyelids fluttering as her mouth works absently and she slowly wakes up. He hears the scrape of Steve's chair on the floor as he stands and glances over in time to see him heading towards the door.
I'll tell the others you're awake. Everyone else is fine, by the way.
Good, Eddie says, eyes back on Chrissy, who is lifting her head and blinking slowly.
That's great. Yeah.
Steve laughs to himself in amusement again.
See you later.
Then it's just him and Chrissy, sitting in a room at Hawkins Hospital as she wakes up completely to find him already watching her. Several emotions flit across her face before she seems to settle on relief. Eddie? He grins, ignoring the pull of something in the skin under his jaw.
In the flesh.
She moves before he can blink, flinging her arms around him, all the while careful not to press too hard or brush any of the scratches or bites he's got.
Thank God!
Sorry, he says quietly, lifting one hand slowly to rest lightly on her back. Didn't mean to scare you.
She takes a deep breath while still burrowed in the crook of his neck. I'm really glad you're okay.
He grimaces as she pulls away, finally taking in the numerous stitches and bandages all over his body.
Define okay.
Alive,
she says fiercely, taking up his hand again in both of hers this time, perched on the end of his bed, disregarding her discarded chair.
You still being here is okay.
He accepts that.
And you? What about your side?
She'd gotten hit pretty badly by one of those demo bats in his trailer, which is one of the things that had made him run off by himself to distract them alone in the first place.
I'm fine, she says. Worried about you.
Me? No need for that.
Eddie,
she cuts him off.
Please don't.
She takes a deep breath, changing her mind about whatever she'd been about to say.
I meant what I said. I don't want to lose you.
Well, you haven't,
he says after a moment, half hoping she's not going to take this conversation where he's pretty sure it's going.
Seems like you're stuck with me after all.
Good, she replies. That's exactly what I want.
He hesitates, not sure if she's joking or not. But it's clear from her face that she isn't.
Do you remember?
She asks him, making him glance away shiftily. But he can only do that for so long, a few seconds, before his eyes are unwillingly drawn back to her, like always.
What you said?
He swallows, suddenly wishing Steve were still here to give him another drink of water, or, you know, to provide any sort of buffer or distraction during this conversation.
Yeah, the word comes out quiet. Yeah, I remember.
She bites her lip, tentative.
Did you mean it?
When I said I was in love with you? He checks reluctantly, obviously giving up on any sense of self-preservation, as he admits helplessly.
Yeah, Chrissy, I meant it. He's not expecting her face to break out into the most brilliant smile he's ever seen.
Good.
Good?
Yes, good.
Then she's leaning forward, eyes intent on his. Just before she bends her head to catch his lips with her own, making both of their eyelids flutter shut. His heart monitor goes crazy beside them, and when Chrissy finally pulls away, it's not just her grinning like crazy.
Then it's official, she says happily. We're stuck with each other.
Works for me, he says,
making her laugh right before she moves to kiss him softly again. This is the best version. The end.